The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I love football season. It's what we live for. I mean, our business revolves around what is going to happen in the next 3.5 months. That's just kind of the whole sports media business revolves around what happens between now and, you know, the end of the year. But it is a, you know, it is a grinder. And right now we are grinding to get everything prepared, you know.
It's a fun grind, right?
It's a fun grind, but yeah. It's a grind.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Because you've been doing this a long time. You know what it's like. You know what it's about. But it can be
Do
fun.
You know what it's about.
I guess I'm going to find out. I'm going in with a positive attitude.
This will be your first tour of duty,
Right. That's right. I'm going in with a positive attitude. So, no, but it's going to be an awesome time, though. It's going to be fun. It's something that's fun for all the hardworking and tough reasons, but it's fun.
We do these game days, and... anyone new to the audience, we what I call bookend the Razorback broadcast. So we are on before and after the Razorback football broadcast, and particularly for home games, that works out great because if you're traveling to and from the games, headed back home and traveling to the games, you know, we will be your friendly tour guides to help get you to and from the stadium and talking about the game and then taking your calls after the game in either jubilation or disgust, one or the other. Generally, so we're with you before and after, and the first 3 or 4 weeks like fly by, and you look up and you're like, we're a third of the way through the season, you know, and then you hit a stretch in the middle of the year that you can't wait for the bye week, and then the season's just like over in a blink of an eye. So
first Saturday in November, I got it in my mind, the bye week. What's going on? Are we the only ones that do a show, bookend show, pregame, postgame? Are we the only ones that matter?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that. I was like, so I don't think anybody else does. It worth a rip.
So we will be on the air again this year for those maybe wondering. Yeah, we're back again for game day shows.
Yep. And our pregame will always be, I guess, technically starting 5 hours before kickoff. Set up with the IMG pregame being 3 hours. Our pregame will be 2 hours. And then we will be on the air for the postgame right after the IMG postgame. So, be on the lookout for that. Be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get those phone calls and those post games for people saying that this is a wrong decision. You need to fire Chad Morse immediately, you know, because that's going to come, I'm sure.
Or the refs screwed us.
Or the refs, yep. Yep, and they're going to be yelling at you, Tommy, even though you had nothing to do with it, but you have a white hat and whistle, so therefore you must know something about it. They're going to yell at you. I mean, it's just going to be a lot of fun, let's be honest. It's going to be an exciting time.
This is what we live for.
That's right. That's right. 11 days. Until the very first game of the season. By the way, I know nobody wants to care about... I have a couple things, too. By the way, you like my new candle?
I saw this on the... it's Twitter.
On the Twitters and on the Instagrams. Yeah,
put it
everywhere.
Chad Morris Holy Father candle, I guess it is. Yeah, is that what you would call it?
Well, it's the candle itself is called the Illuminidal candle. Not the Illuminati, but Illuminidal candle. And it's basically, and in case you haven't seen it, you can check it out on the Twitter account at Rush John Neighbors or at Morning Rush Show. And it's just basically a very religious and spiritual candle that a lot of people have. It's very common, but instead of having some religious figure on it, it's got the religious figure's body with Chad Morris's face.
I wonder what
it's perfect.
Chad Morris thinks of this, because you know at SMU they didn't do anything like this.
I wouldn't think.
And an offensive coordinator at Clemson, they didn't do anything like this.
I wouldn't think.
So... welcome to the SEC. Welcome to the big time.
Here's your Illuminati candle.
Even though your team's only picked to win 4 or 5 games this year, this is the sign of, you know, you kind of have arrived when they're putting your name on when you're putting your image on a candle.
Well, that's what I told Ty. I want to go up to the press conference that the next one that Chad Morris does, and just after a few serious questions about who's going to quarterback going to be, I'm just going to be like, Coach John Neighbors of the Morning Rush. Your thoughts. And I'm just going to set it down in front of him and just say, what do you think about this?
That would break up some of the seriousness.
That's right. That's right. I think you'd probably have a pretty good answer about it. But yeah.
Some in the media would find that, would laugh and chuckle, and then you'd get the eye rolls and groans.
Oh, I'm sure. Just be like, I don't like, let's kick this man out. How dare he ask a question?
We're trying to ask questions about the third string linebacker here.
And he's asking about a candle. It'd be terrible. How dare him? Yeah, kick me out. But hey, that, you know, so if there's a press conference that's coming up that I can make, I'm going to bring this to Chad Morris and just have him ask. And maybe he's listening right now. And coach, if you're listening, be ready for a great answer because I'm going to bring this to you and get you settled in. So we have that here at the studio now. So in case, you know, what we should do something like every time Arkansas wins a game, or it should be if they lose a game. We just need to have it lit for the whole show the next day.
Every time they lose a game, let me see it.
Yeah. We'll see if we have enough wax.
That wick is pretty short.
Yeah. We may have to, have to buy a second candle.
I need to think more positive.
Think more positive. Yeah, there we go. So every time they win a game, we'll have the candle lit for the entire show. And then, you know, who knows how maybe we won't have it lit at all. But we'll see.
No.
But maybe we'll have something like that to do. So, yeah, this is the new candle. And it was only like $11, too, so... I got my money's worth.
I heard someone taking us to task yesterday afternoon.
Who?
On the Bart Pullman show.
Oh, Sports Talk with Bart?
Nice. About we were being too negative about the quarterback situation.
What's there to be positive about?
Well, I don't know that it's... I mean, I don't know that we've been negative.
No, I think we've been real.
I think we've been real. I mean, part of it is we just don't know. You know, I mean...
And from what we do know,
because
it doesn't look good.
The one quarterback that may, and I say may, be leading the race to become the starting quarterback has, what did Cole start? 4 games last year?
Yeah, 3 or 4 games.
You know, so you just don't have a ton of returning experience. Your comment, a few days ago, I guess it was last week, about it's you compared it to the John Rutledge era.
Mm-hmm. I did.
I don't know that the John Rutledge situation was an era, but we were getting taken to task over that yesterday by a caller.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, if people
know that it was an era, number one, but
no. Listen,
I don't know that it was properly represented yesterday afternoon, but I found that entertaining.
Yeah, well, I'd heard something about that too. I wasn't listening about it, but I'm like, you know,
I happen to be still here at the studio, and I heard something about it, so I turned the studio or the monitors up a little bit and was listening, like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, see, and somebody asked me about that too, and about Cole Kelly specifically because of his experience last year. They're like, well, he went 87 for 151 for over 1,000 yards, and he had 8 touchdowns and only 4 picks, and he had a 57% completion percentage, and that's not horrible. He could do, like, listen, the 4 games that he played in last year, least significant snaps, was Alabama, where he did not perform overly well. We
good
don't
luck.
Know. Yeah.
I mean, that's not, I mean, just good luck to anybody.
Yeah. And then situation. Auburn, where he didn't throw a single touchdown or interception, didn't even throw it downfield at all. And then the games where he had his best stats was against Ole Miss and Coastal Carolina.
Where he led you to a couple of wins.
He did. 1-point wins in back-to-back weeks. If you can remember how terrible it was last year.
I don't know that I'm negative about, I'm just very reserved. I think Ty Story could come in and surprise some people, but I say surprise people because I don't know that we expect a whole lot. I just don't know what to expect because we have very little to go on.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how I am too. But I also believe, though, when it comes to that, when it comes to maybe my pessimism, if you want to call it that, of the quarterback situation, is it may get into this year where their stats may not, whoever the starting quarterback is, the stats may not be bad. They may not be making a lot of mistakes, but I don't think they have a quarterback on campus right now that's good enough to take those risks, to have a lot of downfield passing, to go out there and they're going to have quick passes. Quick passes, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands very quickly. A lot of that will have to do with the offensive line, they can do. But I just don't think that you have a quarterback right now that's big time enough, that's good enough to just step right in and lead these teams to victory. They're going to have to rely on the coaching and the setup and the guys around them.
Here's what I do believe. I do believe this coaching staff will put these guys in a position to be as successful
Absolutely.
As possible. I do believe Craddock will call the plays and put them in the personnel groupings, and hopefully they find the receivers, and I believe they got the running backs and the tight ends, and the line will give them a chance to be successful. I think they're going to find whatever it is that over the first 3 weeks, and how fortunate it is that the schedule doesn't set up with a conference game right out of the gate or a prime non-conference opponent, that they have 3 weeks that I think they're really going to need to ease into this. So I think they're going to be just fine, but I don't think it's going to be anything great, but I don't think it's going to be awful either.
Yeah.
So,
well, time will tell. We don't know who even the starting quarterback is.
I just think it's very beneficial that these quarterbacks have Eastern Illinois and Colorado State, North Texas, to get this thing rolling.
And let me say this too, that if whoever the starting quarterback is, whether it's Ty Story or Cole Kelly, whoever, first 3 games, I don't really care about as far as, but if they go on the road against Auburn and they perform well, then maybe I'll eat my words.
If it's this close, this late in camp, and I think some of that, I think all of that's by design. Not some, I think a lot of it's by design to keep this quarterback battle this close. But if it truly is this close between Cole Kelly and Ty Story, does it matter which one starts?
That's how I'm feeling.
I mean, if they're if one's going to eke out the other, does it matter which one it is? I mean, is there, because there appears to me, based on what we're told, because we're not getting to see much, that there's a vast difference between the two. Based on what we know at this point, there's not. They're neck and neck, right?
That's right.
So if it's Ty Story or Cole Kelly, either one, does it make a world of difference in winning and losing? I don't think it's going to.
I don't think, I agree with you, because I don't think if, say, at the end of this week, Chad Morse comes out and says, Ty Story's starting game one, I don't think everyone's going to be like, oh, well, in that case.
I don't think we need to be flipping coins to determine it, but I'm just saying, if you tell me it's Cole Kelly,
it's okay. It's not going to change you.
If you tell me it's Ty Story, okay. Mm. If they're that close, I just don't know that it changes. I mean,
there's not a fan favorite,
right?
That people are saying, I mean, we want this guy, we want this guy.
If one guy was that much better than the other, they'd have already named him starter,
and we'd already know about it, and we wouldn't have to be sitting here speculating the whole time. But that's not the case. So I don't know, am I being too negative about the quarterback situation?
I think we're being real about
if I'm being negative, please let me know.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
On your quiz of the quarterbacks, there is no good way to cheat on the phone, because all of the names you know are, I mean, if you pull up a record book or a list, we already had those names. I don't need help with Ryan Mallett or Tyler Wilson or Barry Lunney.
Yeah.
You know, those are the names. It's the obscure names that are going to get me. The last five or six names in this list of, was it 20? Quarterbacks,
yes, 20 quarterbacks.
20 starting quarterbacks since Arkansas joined the SEC. So there been 20 starting quarterbacks in the last 25 seasons, I guess it is.
That's right.
And I've got 14. I don't think I'm not going to get 20. I'm not going to get to your 18.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get close.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. Since we got to make it as official as possible, you'll say the name out loud, and I'll put it in. So they have a timer on the quiz, and I'll type it in for you. And so that way, when we get to the end, we'll know how many you missed and who you missed.
Okay.
Try to make it as official as possible. So
these are not in chronological orderness. And here's the crazy.
Doesn't matter.
You know who almost forgot the end? Cole Kelly. Right now, names.
See, that's the ones that'll get you, man.
Dawned on me. You know, Cole Kelly started four games.
Yep. Because you're going to forget about somebody that you're like, because that's what happened to me when I took it and what I missed. So
does he have a lifeline?
No, he doesn't have a lifeline. What is this? It's 20 quarterbacks. You can give me 15, and I'll say you're good, because the average score right now is 56%. Do better than that, Tommy. Mm. Do better than that. All right, so on your mark, get set, go.
All right, Mike Cherry.
Okay.
Barry Lunney Jr.
Okay.
Clint Sterner.
Okay.
Matt Jones.
Okay.
Robbie Hampton.
Okay.
Robert Johnson.
Okay.
Casey Dick.
Okay.
Nathan Dick.
Okay.
Mitch Mustain.
Okay.
Ryan Mallett.
Okay.
Tyler Wilson.
All right.
Brandon Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Kelly.
Okay.
What did I give me to? I'm missing some.
Yeah, well, because the thing is, it didn't start until the computer froze on me, so I apologize.
I counted 13.
13, so yeah, there 14, you go. So. You got 14?
14.
Okay. So you're missing six.
That's 14.
Okay.
All those are correct, right? I didn't name anybody there that wasn't a starter, right?
No, you got all those correct.
Yeah. So who am I missing?
Well, let me see your write up here, so that way we can make this as official as possible. So I don't know. So you got the one that I could say, I don't remember Mike Cherry, but that had to think
that goes
about
way
it.
Back.
Yeah, that goes way
back. Because that was like one of the first big quarterback battles was and I'm missing the guy that he was in the battle for. And then Lunney won the job against Tennessee in the 92 season.
That's right. So, that's right. Okay.
That's where he started. It was later in the year.
Okay, so here's the ones I'm going to give you. I'm going to start with the lowest tier one. You missed A.J. Derby.
Yeah,
Mary started against Rutgers in 2013. So you missed him.
Yep.
You missed Tavarius Jackson.
I knew that there's two guys I could see them, but I couldn't put it in. Yep.
He had one game, one start in 2002.
Yep.
Robert Reed.
Robert Reed. There you go.
1995 started one game. So all three of those guys only started one game. So you got those.
All right. I don't feel so bad about that.
Jason Allen.
There was the guy I was. That goes way back. Yeah.
Five games in 1992.
That was the guy in the battle with Cherry. That was the guy. I couldn't think of his name. And if I could have cheated, I would have cheated on that one because I could not think of his name.
That's right. Robert Johnson.
I had him down, didn't I?
You did? Oh, yeah, you did. My bad.
Robert Johnson.
Sorry, I looked at Ryan Sorhan.
Did not have Sorhan.
That was
missed. Didn't even think about Sorhan.
He started eight games. How crazy is that? Eight games. I'm making sure that okay.
No,
so you
I didn't have him.
Okay. Pete Burks.
How could we forget Pete Burks?
11 starts in 96.
11 starts, yeah.
I mean, that was the big thing.
We wonder why it was so. See, you go from like Lunny and you block everything out between Lunny and Sterner.
That's right. That's right. And I think you only missed one more. Yeah, you only missed one more.
Yeah.
Zach Clark.
Yeah.
He started 12 games from 2000 to 2001.
Notice all, you miss them all in those eras where
things kind of just go blank.
Yeah, you know.
Although, the one that
I'm embarrassed that you forget. I forgot two guys that started like eight games or more.
Yeah. So. Like Robert Johnson to me was like one that I feel like a lot of people probably would forget because that year was so forgettable.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize that. But yeah, so there you go. It wasn't bad. Okay, so now I got to ask you. Can you give me the top three quarterbacks that had the most starts in Arkansas Razorback history? Well, not history, but since 1992.
Well, I would think Brandon Allen's got to be in those three.
He's number two. Okay.
I would think Matt Jones would have to be. Is he not up there?
He's not up there.
You're shaking your head no. He started a lot of games, though.
He did. He started 31 games.
I mean, Tyler only had a couple of years. Those two guys wouldn't be in there.
Mm-mm.
Lunny has to be up there because he started.
Number one.
He started as a freshman. I mean, you stop and think about it. So Lunny has to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Allen, two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you stop and think about how early in his career Lunny was a starter. So, yeah, Lunny's one. Brandon Allen, two, because he had 3 years under his belt. Who else was a 3-year starter? Casey Dick?
Nope.
No.
He's fourth, on the list.
Because he had a lot. Casey had a lot of starts over multiple years.
Yeah, he's fourth on the list. You're going to kick yourself when I tell you.
And give me just a minute.
Come on now. Think of 3-year starters at Arkansas since 92. Come on now. People are yelling at the radio right now.
Clint Sterner.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. 3-year starter.
Clint Sterner.
So that was the order. Barry Lunny Jr. started 40 games for the Razorbacks. Brandon Allen had 38. Clint Sterner had 35. Mm-hmm. In their careers. So there you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it. That wasn't bad, Tom.
That's a fun little test.
Yeah, it was a fun little test. Wasn't bad at all.
It was about like college, about a C-.
Hey, C's get degrees, Tommy. C's get degrees.
I've got one hanging on the wall.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and it's funny.
And look at me now.
It's funny to look back at some of these quarterback situations that Arkansas has been through, because I know we've been talking a lot about this current quarterback situation that they're in. But, you know, you think about names like a Robbie Hampton. You know, that was post Clint Sterner era, and that was in 2000 when he was the starting quarterback, and that was the year Arkansas went 6-6, played in the UNLV against UNLV in the Las Vegas Bowl, and it was just overall a bad year.
I was there for that one.
That was bad.
It was cold in the second half.
Yeah. What was it, 31-10, something like that? I mean, UNLV just blitzed Arkansas. It was pretty embarrassing.
Bad.
But then Zach Clark's another name that people – I know you forgot him, but, you know, they're just these names of quarterbacks that during those certain eras – that you don't remember. I will give you credit, though, Tommy. You at least got the main ones.
Remember the best quarterback that never started a game?
The best quarterback that never started a game for Arkansas?
See if you come up with this one.
You're talking about for Arkansas, I hope. Is it since 92?
Yeah.
Okay. Best quarterback to never start a game.
I guess it's debatable whether he was best, but
highly
recruited, in our state, never started a game.
Ooh, hold on a second. Let me think about this. Highly recruited from the state of Arkansas to never start a game. Did he transfer out, or did he finish his career?
He transferred
at Arkansas
out of the hole in a fence at practice and never came back. Is how the story goes.
Was it Gary Brashears?
Gary Brashears.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Was he that highly recruited? I knew he was
pretty
good.
Yeah, okay. He's highly thought of.
Yeah, he was from Clarksville. Was
Clarksville.
That
yeah.
Man, that's a name right there. I haven't heard in forever. Wow, Gary Brashears. I forgot all because he was during the
quarterback,
and he was also during the time it was like Robbie Hampton and Zach Clark, wasn't it? During that time period. So, did he ever play anywhere else?
I don't remember the legend.
May have to start looking up Gary Brashears Jr. I remember that. Gary Brashears Jr. Man, yeah. Never got to start. That was maybe even a better question. The best quarterback to never start a game in Arkansas history. That was definitely one of them. We could probably go through a whole list and try to figure out who was the best one. And because it would have been for a while Tavarius Jackson, but he did start one game technically because he went on to have a good NFL career, but he was definitely up there. No, it's a fun quiz. Good job, Tommy. You passed. You got the C.
Barely.
So, hey, that's
just
all
like
that,
college.
Hey, that's all that matters.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Heath, in the previous segment, called in and said that he has been hearing nothing except about Chad Morris and how overrated he is. I don't know if I've heard that.
I don't hear that at all. I mean, I hear people that are happy with Chad Morris and are satisfied with his hiring as a coach, but I don't hear, like, overwhelming, over-the-top praise. But I don't hang out either. A lot between Cabot and Heber. So.
It must be in just in that area because I've been talked to people all over the state. I've talked to diehard fans. Yeah. I've talked to usually optimistic fans and usually pessimistic fans. And I don't think anyone said he's going to be the next coming. I think they have some positivity. I think they feel strong about him. I think they feel like that he could be really good for it. So, but either way, do we really have, is it Gary in Arkadelphia on the phone lines?
That's what my screen says.
He's alive? He hasn't
what
gone missing or anything like that?
His triumphant return.
Hey, let's welcome in Gary in Arkadelphia. How's it going, man?
Good morning. Good morning,
Where
guys.
Have you been?
Man, I've had a busy spring and a busy summer, and y'all was talking about excitement for Hog fans. After we got Carson shattied in Omaha, I just kind of went and hid out for about 2 months. I didn't want to hear nothing about no Hogs. And that's kind of where I want to go, Tom. You brought this up earlier about the excitement. And, let me address Heath first. All right, he called in last week, all doom and I don't want to be negative, and he went negative. All doom and gloom. Our offensive line sucks. Our quarterback sucks. We have no coach. According to Heath, we don't even need to play, okay? And it just blows my mind. You know, Heath, let's play at least one game before you can call in and start being negative about something. And then to say that he's the most overrated coach, I don't know where that's coming from. I guess Heath wants to be the first one in case this fails. He wants to be the first one to say, I told you so, I guess. So, anyway, I just had to address Heath there. That really blows my mind. But Tommy, he's talking about people aren't really excited. And here's, at the end of the way the 16 season ended, and then the way the last year ended, and then the basketball team, the way the season ended, and then the way everything ended in Omaha, it's just, I don't know, it's just, we're just kind of burnt out. You only get kicked so many times.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yeah, I'm
so.
Yeah,
yeah. You're gonna get.
You want to interrupt the sermon?
Okay. All right. Well, I just make sure y'all are still there. I didn't want to hear anything after we got Carson shattied. I just nobody wanted to hear anything about Hogs. I think you can only be kicked so many times. We can only hear and wait till next year so many times. And most people are excited about the hire. If you're not excited, I mean, it doesn't mean it's not doom and gloom like he says, and it's not all hunky dory like he wants to claim everybody claims. It's right in the middle. But the recruiting, we finally got somebody that can recruit.
Yeah.
See, I don't know why people aren't excited.
I think people are excited about Chad Morris. I just don't know that people are excited about this football season. And I think you got to separate the two. I think people are excited. And you mentioned recruiting. I think people are getting excited about Chad Morris, and people are excited about where this football program is retrending and what direction it's heading back in. And it's a turnaround process. This is turning around a battleship, not a speedboat. But I think people are also realistic in understanding maybe this season, it's, you know, they're still in the turning around process. And I don't know that there's a lot of excitement for this season, but there's excitement for Chad Moore. Does that make sense?
He hung up on you.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up on you. He was tired.
Gary, why'd you hang up?
He was tired of you. He didn't like, yeah, he didn't like what you were saying. It's just good to hear from him again. I was concerned there for a while.
Am I right, though, about...
Yeah, I know. Hey,
I wanted to hear what Gary thought about
no,
that.
No, I'm on your side. We can play, maybe he's trying
to call
back. I don't
know that Gary hung up.
No, I just like to think he did. That was the main thing. So. No, but I do agree with you, though. I feel like there's a lot of people that are just... not excited about the season, but excited about Chad Morris. And there's put and Gary. It's possible. Yeah, let's get him. Let's get Gary.
Put Gary back in.
Yeah,
here.
Let's get Gary back on. What's going on, Gary?
Did you hear what I was saying there, Gary?
Well, I don't know. I thought y'all hung up on but anyway.
No, I was saying I think people are excited about Chad Morris, but maybe not about this season.
Oh, exactly. I heard John make this comment the other day. He thought Chad Morris was going to be like Gus in 4 years. I think it's going to be sooner than that. I think it's going to be three. Okay. And so, the one thing everybody needs to look at, Tommy, you brought this up about adapt. And
that's what Chad brings up, you know.
Right, I know, but you talk about how concerning it is that we have to adapt. And most successful coaches, they know how to adapt and structure their system around the talent they have. And so I'm not worried about it. I think that's a good thing. The last coach we had, he couldn't adapt to anything. Okay, the only thing he could adapt to.
He wasn't willing to adapt.
Well, the only thing he could adapt to, guys, was when they changed out the all-you-can-eat buffet from breakfast to lunch. He could adapt to that. Okay? But how many times do we hear after a ball game he can't make any adjustments? So we got a coach that knows how to put the guys in place to get things done. Look what Gus does. How many times has Gus won with a below average quarterback? Okay, because he can adapt and adjust his system to the players he has and put them all in position to be successful. This guy here is going to be able to do it. Chad Morris, his brain is constantly working on plays. This guy's just to hear him talk, yeah, he's starting to get us excited. But like I say, we've just been kicked down. We've just been kicked so many times and kicked so many times. Mm-hmm. We're really hoping that Chad Morris is going to be the panacea that this program most definitely needs.
That's a big word for a guy from Arkadelphia. Panacea.
Panacea. All right, word of the day from Papa Gary. Panacea, the magic cure-all. Okay, and that's what we need.
I'm not concerned about the word adapt. I'm excited because I think Bielema's stubbornness and unwilling to adapt was what got him fired ultimately.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I'm excited that you got a guy that says, hey, I only got guys that can do these limited things, so that's what we're going to base our offense around. You know,
exactly.
And then when I get guys recruited that can do the things I need, we'll expand, you know.
Well, that's what he's saying right now. He doesn't have all the tools in the toolbox to run his system 100%, but he's got enough tools that he can still build a successful program and be successful. I still think we can win 6 or 7 games this year, Tommy. I just can't understand you thinking we can't beat Vandy and Mississippi and Missouri. That blows my mind.
Yeah, Tommy.
We're a 6-7-win football team. We go down and take care of business against A&M, sky's the limit. Because this is a very competent football team.
You can only be kicked
team.
So many times.
Well, that's true. Hey,
I'm looking for a panacea.
Okay, but hey, guys, this real quick. You know, Chad Morris is going to get it done. He's starting to get us excited. But it's going to take time. But he knows how to put the pieces in place. Everything's going to come together. And I say the last coach couldn't adapt and adjust to nothing. So everybody wants to use that term adapt. It's bad, but it's great. And I think everybody will see everything come into place. It may be a struggle the first 2 or 3 games, but hey, once A&M's what I want, we all want. But this is, you hear these players talk for the first time in 4 or 5 years. They sound like a confident football team. They feel good about themselves. So if they can go to A&M, guys, and come out of there and they're 4-1 after the A&M game, sky's the limit. There's no telling what this football team can do because emotion and feeling good about yourself and confidence goes a long way. Just look back. I'm not trying to compare, but look what Houston Nutt did his first year. Come in and took over a program that had been kind of beat on for 2 years and pumps them up and gets them feeling good about themselves, play with a lot of confidence, and they went on a roll. So confidence means a lot, and Chad Morris is a very confident guy. He, another thing, additional coaching last. The other coach come down here to see if his system will work. Chad Morris knows his system will work in the SEC, and he's going to prove it. And just going to take him a little bit of time. But, guys, 3 years, we're all going to be singing a different tune. Anyway, guys, that's all I got.
All right, great
appreciate
call, Gary.
It, Gary. Yeah. Good to know you're alive and well. Had a busy spring and summer.
I know he's been listening because...
Well, you referred to some of the stuff we've been saying.
Well, that and he'll take us to task on Twitter the last three or four months on
do that too,
things
yeah.
if he doesn't agree with stuff. So, but it's much better to hear from you, Gary, than read from you on Twitter. So I'm glad you called in today. So
yeah. Well, I mean,
let's not make it so long the next time.
Yeah, well, he talked about the adjustments that, you know, and how many times we've talked about adapting with Chad Morris and...
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think adapting is great because that's recognizing I can't do these things. I can do these things. So let's go do these. Let's go do what I'm good at.
Yeah.
But it's not ultimately, and as I've said, when you got a coach willing to invite all of the media in to let's explain our offense and let's open up the playbook to a degree and let's, you know, let's have somewhat of an open book about what we're trying to do here, but we're not going to be able to do these things. And he uses the word adapt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're just a high school program at a college level, kind of has been his mantra, right? I'm
That's
a high
right.
school coach.
Yeah.
How many times
did
he use that? I hope that doesn't come back to bite him. I think all of that is good because, hey, if you've only got the talent to do these things, then let's go do these things and be good at them. Because why try to do things you're not good at? That's what Bielema tried to do the first year, and it resulted in zero conference wins.
It was bad.
Because he said, we're going to establish a pro-style offense, even though we don't have pro-style players. And there's some merit to that, but it didn't work out for the program.
Yeah, they're going to adjust to me. And I'm not going to adjust to them.
And 0-8 was always hung over his head.
Rightfully
he
so.
He never outlived that. He never won enough games to get over that.
Nope, because there was no reason that team should have gone 0-8 in conference.
I agree.
Not saying they would have been great, but they shouldn't have gone 0-8.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.